You can find an original script for the movie Casablanca here, for example. You can find Edith Head's costume designs and original sketches for her Grace Kelly in To Catch a Thief. We also have a National Civil Rights Collection because we collected things in the 1960s, the papers of Daisy Bates, who represented the Little Rock Nine in Arkansas in the 1950s. We have her papers here. We collected lots of Frontier America documentation. We have the papers of Daniel Boone here. We have Thomas Jefferson letters. We have a diary that went on the Lewis and Clark expedition. We have a lot of things that we collected early on, you know, before there were auctions for items being auctioned off for millions of dollars, for example. 99.9% of the collections here were donated, were given to us. And the other thing, more recently, we've put a lot of things on the web. So we've got more and more. We've got over 70,000 of our photos are on the web, several tens of thousands of pages out of books, newspapers, and documents have been scanned and put on our website. And obviously, that's a wonderful way to reach people who will never walk in this building.
Yeah, it exposes people to it. But yeah. Then when I think about documents online, it's like, well, now that I've seen it,
I don't have to see the original.
I don't have to go down to see the original, even if it may be across town.
There won't be a time in the next 100 years where, you know, even half of our stuff will be available online. So there'll always be some things that people will have to come here to look at. The other thing I would say is that if you saw online a letter by Thomas Jefferson, an original letter, that's one thing. But would that mean that if I said, if you want to come in here and see the original, you can do that? Would that mean, I've already seen it online. I don't really want to see the original Thomas Jefferson letter. Something that Thomas Jefferson held in his hand and signed. I mean, doesn't that still have some appeal? So this is an original letter.
His penmanship is lovely.
There's his signature, Thomas Jefferson. This has been mounted in a scrapbook. This was done many years ago. We wouldn't do this as a practice now in archives, but they actually cut out the middle of this page and then glued in the edges of the letter. So this is the original letter. The other thing that Lyman Draper did, who was our founder, the founder of the Historical Society, he collected a lot of this stuff, as I said, in the 1840s, 50s, and 60s. He also treated it as a research collection. So this red underlining you see is basically his highlighting. He took this original letter and he highlighted. He treated it as historical, his notes, his historical information. Again, something we would never, ever do today, but still doesn't diminish the fact that this is an original letter written by Thomas Jefferson in 1783. The other cool thing about this one is he's writing to George Rogers Clark, and he's suggesting, you know, maybe an idea for exploring the country from the Mississippi to California, which eventually came 20 years later, the Lewis and Clark expedition. So he's proposing this 20 years earlier in this letter to George Rogers Clark.
And what the thing that sends chills up and down my spine is that when he wrote this letter, he never imagined an African-American woman would be talking to a white male in a historical society.
That's right.
Together.
I find it special to be able to see the original, to see and hold something that was, it makes you feel sort of more in the moment. He's more of a real person than, you know, you see an image of a Thomas Jefferson letter or you see it quoted in a book. That's one thing. But to actually see the handwriting, see the letter that person held in their hand.
In material culture, we talk about when objects go on display and how important it is for people that don't have a relationship with objects in museums to have that real experience of bringing the presence of the actual object itself. Yeah. And how much more the actual object conveys that whole wealth of experience and knowledge.
That's
and
correct.
Historical
that
aspect
is right.
than a replica does.
It's a little weird because we, as archivists, we think more about the informational content of items, two-dimensional items like maps and letters, and we might microfilm collections sometimes, especially if they're very poor paper, or very fragile, and we figure people can use the microfilm because it has all the same information in it. I haven't really thought about it in depth too much, but I do know that there is something, that's why we use them on tours like this, is because there is something special about that.
If I've learned nothing else from you today, Lee, I've learned that when you have something in a manila envelope, it's going to be a jaw dropper.
Well, this is from Daisy Bates. So Daisy Bates was a lawyer who represented the Little Rock Nine in Arkansas. And at some point, somebody threw a rock through her window and with a threatening matchbook cover. So this is a photo from the time, 1954. When it was thrown through, here's the match.
No, you did not just pull out the matchbook cover, Lee.
The matchbook cover. Yes, this is the next time. Well, you can read it.
The next time will be dynamite. KKK.
And here's the match that was thrown through a window that you see in the photo here.
We study not the history of objects, but history through objects. So I think about this time period and like the malice and the hate that must have been going through somebody. The matchbook cover and the rock, and the matchbook is from the Ohio Blue Tip, exclusively Ohio Blue Tip matches, with this quaint little home scene on the front of it.
That's right.
Just this lovely little
from
home
some
scene.
Some local club, probably.
From some club. Yeah. And so is this person liquored up? This isn't a lot of planning here. This is just pure, straight up, from the gut hate.
Yes, yeah.
Into this person's home.
Yeah.
Flies this thing. This is amazing.
When I knew you were coming here, and I know you've talked to people in our museum before, but I always wanted to make sure visitors here realize that we have this other stuff too, that they wouldn't expect to find here. You never really would. You could go on living in Wisconsin or even in Madison all your life and never know that so nearby were things related to Hollywood movies or civil rights in Mississippi or Arkansas or Thomas Jefferson writing in Virginia or Lewis and Clark expedition, those kinds of things. You just would never expect them to find them at the Wisconsin Historical Society. I mean, somebody could come here, you could be lost for the rest of your life, really, just taking one piece at a time and thinking about it carefully.